G'day, ballers and ballerettes, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round one is coach of Tubes as Pods. Tubes, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I've had a big golfing weekend this week. Still managed to fit in plenty of football watching and Supercoach observing. And not as good on the Supercoach front. I think I've had a below score round with 11.55. My lane of Manly as a team didn't quite work out this weekend, but we're on to next.
Yeah, it was funny riding the roller coaster of emotions with YouTubes via text message a bit. There was a stage on Thursday night where there was discussion of the app being deleted about 35 minutes into the Roosters Broncos game. You got a little bit cranky with me about some weather related things before the game kicked off, and then you were back up and about when Walsh went well, and then the messages got a little bit more dour on Saturday night when Turbo Oller and Garrick were running through.
I wasn't that dour about the Turbo. That was an expected. Could happen. Like the Walsh one, if I remember my rage, it was a bit out of body at the time, but I think I was saying something along the lines of if the Broncos put on 50 here and Walsh doesn't go above 50, I'm deleting the app or something like that. I can't remember it exactly, but it was blowing up.
Well, thankfully the app stayed on because he made it through and your weekend turned around a little bit. But yeah, Tubes, I went a little bit better than you. I posted a 12.65, which I think is maybe just above par. It seems, looking around at a few of the leagues, that par, I reckon, is somewhere between that 1,200 to 1,250 range. Do you think about the same?
Yeah, I think below 1,250, I'm probably hopeful. But I think that there's some people that got big scores, sort of mid-1,300s. But I see a lot of scores in the low 1,200s. So, yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. All right, well, before we get into a bit of an analysis from the weekend, let's get a few plugs out of the way, Tubes. Wanting people to join the SC Ballers Unlimited League, where there are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs, all you need to do to be eligible is head to baller.promo, and that's baller.promo, and enter your email address. The league code that you will get sent to you as well once you've done that is 730444. And yes, your email does need to be registered to be eligible for the $5,000 in prizes. How'd that plug go, Tubes? First one I've done.
Pretty good. I just checked what you read out while you were reading it, and it took me to the website, baller.promo. Become an OG baller to get free NRL Supercoach access. Because, I mean, I think there's some more tools and content coming out as the season progresses. But for right now, just get in there for the 5K season prize and then add the group to your Supercoach app.
Well, Tubes, let's just jump straight into it, I reckon. I mean, I think one thing I want to make clear for people who are maybe new to Supercoach this year is that there's no player price rises this week. All the players need to have played three games. So when we're talking about trades this week, we're looking at the players who you can be patient with, give them that second chance, or if there's any that we think we've seen enough of after just one game that you can maximise your trades going into round three and just get rid of them out of your side right now. And to start that off, Tubes, let's do our rage trades for round one.
Are you little?
Who do you have as your number one potential rage trade candidate, Tubes?
Mine is from that Thursday night game. So potentially I was raging and it might have coloured my thinking, but it's Sandon Smith. I just think he looked terrible. He got over for a try sort of late when the game was over, which included a line break, which sort of scrambled him home to 50. But I'm not even sure he can goal kick. He missed one nearly right from in front. The Roosters looked terrible. And the main reason for him being my rage trade is I'm currently running Sandon Smith, Corey Pakes double, so the double cheapy hooker, which I don't think is I think it's pretty popular for this year. And I just don't know if I can trust him playing him as a 17 player.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. I thought 50 points for a halfback in a well-beaten team. And I know we got the try at the end, but even without that, a 30 for a rookie or near-rookie halfback in a team that got pumped as much as they did to me, is not a disaster. There's no way I'd look at trading Sandon Smith this week. I think he deserves at least a second go. And I think he's still going to have weeks where the Roosters go right and he scores well. I also think, Tubes, we'll get into it a little bit more when we talk about Tom Duffy a little bit later on. But I'm also thinking potentially some moves around Sandon Smith potentially becoming the second halfback as well. If a Nico trade needs to be made and Tom Duffy doesn't look viable if he has another poor week, I think there's that little bit of flexibility to potentially have him as your second halfback. So I definitely wouldn't be looking at trading him this week.
I just think that there's potential that he's not even in the team in a couple of weeks. He was just so bad.
But for who's he getting dropped for? They don't have anyone else. Chad Townsend's their halfback.
Yeah, you're right. Probably saves him. Probably saves him.
My rage trade for the week, Chiefs, is someone that I own, so there is a bit of personal bias coming in for this one. He's 12% owned amongst super coaches. Alex Seyfarth. It might be time to say bye-bye to Seyfarth because he got 36 points in 64 minutes. The positive is he would have played the full 80 if it wasn't for a HIA, but I'm already eyeing off, Tubes, and thinking, do I just cut my ties this week? He didn't look overly impressive, didn't take many runs. Do I give him another chance, Tubes, and other owners as well, or is it time to just sell to Jack Gajewski?
Isn't that what you were expecting? I mean, if he played 80, he would have got, what, another 8 points? Isn't 44 what you're expecting from him?
No, that's about what he's priced at. So I guess, no, I wasn't expecting. I thought he had a chance to go above and beyond that. Like that 44 is what he'd be priced at.
Did you and practice that see you later in the mirror this morning? Was that something you were preparing for? Seyfarth, see you later when you're preparing this race.
Say bye-bye. I was thinking it this weekend. Say bye-bye to Seyfarth because I was rageful at him on Friday night.
I'm not here to talk you out of anything realistically because I don't feel one bit sorry for you starting with Seyfarth. Didn't you listen to the pod on formerly known pod on the SC Ballers feed during about our mid-ranger warning? Seyfarth, not a very good player, not a fantastic first grader. I just can't see it translating to Supercoach points.
Yep, I think that's fair. And I never had him in a single draft of my team until my final team. Like, he was never once in. It just worked out with some of the cheapies that I needed someone in that range, and he wasn't the right one. But, I don't know. I'm probably leaning towards trading him out, but we'll see if I still feel that rage.
But what do you do? Weeks. Like, your downgrade is the Goz, and that's sort of, I mean, at least he's not a mid-range, not very good first grader. Exactly. He's a cheapy one.
He's 230K, so it's just a complete.
He played 80, didn't he, as well? Gajewski, is that how you pronounce it? That would just at least give me pause. Like, I wouldn't feel good hitting that trade button and bringing him in this week. You want to see hit that one more time in terms of bringing him in. Don't mind getting rid of Seyfarth, but it's just who you can bring in for him.
Worth a look. Which is let's get into our main talking points of the weekend. And only one place to start. He's actually the namesake of my team, but I did not bring him in. It's Payne Haas. He got 104 points on the weekend in 50 minutes, and he looked absolutely destructive, didn't he, Tube? Set up a try with a beautiful offload. We've said in the past about Payne that Payne Haas getting an offload is like when Happy Gilmore learned to putt. And if Payne Haas can start throwing a few offloads this year, geez, he's a great proposition.
I forgot about that. Yes, he looked unbelievable. And it wasn't just the offloading. He just looked like he was out there to destroy people. Like, I thought there was some chat around him having niggling injuries into the preseason and different things like that, but he looked fully fit and wound up. The other thing for me that was exciting, Broncos were up like by 30, maybe even 40, and there was still 25 minutes to go. And Madge just goes, oh, you know what? I'll bring Haas back on now just to play out this last 25 minutes. Like, there's no – Madge doesn't have that take the foot off the accelerator in him. And so that's only good for Payne Haas owners from a Supercoach perspective. See how it goes for the Broncos perspective over the course of the season, but it's good for a Supercoach point of view.
I guess the hard thing, Tubes, is how do you get him? Because it's not like he's an easy player to get. Most people are pretty stacked at front row forward. One thing I thought of is that we get a look at Tino next week, and if you've got Tino in your front row, if his minutes are disappointing, potentially you look at doing Tino up to Payne, but that's a conversation for next week.
But even it is a next week one, but even that, like, Hopgood, pretty disappointing today, 49 before updates. Did play big minutes, but someone like that, I think he's 650K. Him to Haas via a dual like Tino is an option. I think there's a cut, and I think Preston, whilst okay, I think there was a couple of underperforming second row forwards on the weekend that could be an option to go to big paying Haas if you think he's going to keep monstering out those points.
All right, there's another front row forward that we're going to save for a little bit later from the Broncos, but we'll say that for a segment coming up. Let's talk about the Broncos cheapies tubes, because Broncos are definitely one of the most relevant teams in Supercoach and far out. There's one guy that I was so against having in your Supercoach team who put a little bit of egg on my face. Shibasaki had 83 points with a try and a try assist. He only had 30 in base, but that's still fairly solid. I've never seen him look like that as a footballer. He always looked very pedestrian, very mid, but he was like big, strong, almost scary looking with the way he was running the ball. Do you think he holds the spot? Is he one that we could go a week early on?
I think so. He looked unbelievable, like, didn't he? Like, how old is he? He's 27. 27. He looked like a young GI at moments in the game there. Like, just...
No. We're not going there. Take that back. Jevitt Shibasaki did not look like GI. That is so offensive.
He looks like a peak Branko Lee, Origin Branko Lee. Is that better? Is that a better comparison?
Yeah.
It's a little bit downgrade. He looked very good. He actually looked a lot bigger than I expected him to look and look very fit. As you said, never looked like that at the Cowboys. But I think the big thing for him, other than 30 points in base is good, and he looked good, but just that Broncos run coming up and just how good the Broncos looked in general. So easy run, cheapy, outside of a clearly very good-looking back line. I think he's close to being a must-have, and I think there's no harm getting him this week because I don't. Do you get more information in round three? Is what's his name back? Who's out for them at the moment? The center,
Stags.
Stags is Stags back by round three to give you that potentially info anyway?
Yeah, potentially he is because it was a 4 to 6 week injury that he did 2 weeks before the season started. So if it goes to the lower end of that scale, he could be back for round three.
Okay,
so possibly.
I think you can, if you don't have any burning things, you can wait a week. But, yeah, I'd love to get him into my side as quickly as possible. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it at the moment. So even waiting a week really to get the information as to who you're trading or downgrading for him is probably worth it as well.
Chiefs, I think the other Broncos cheapies we probably don't need to spend too long on, but feel free to jump in if you have anything to say. Corey Pax got 56 in 51 minutes. He got a try and a line break to do that. 51 minutes, fairly encouraging, although, yeah, I think a lot of his owners would have maybe liked that to be pushing up to 60. Jack Kajewski, who we've already spoken about a bit, 66 minutes. Like you said, he played the full 80. And most interestingly, he stayed on when Piakura came on for a very brief cameo. Not sure if you saw that Piakura came on and just immediately got sin-binned. But Jack Kajewski did stay on the field when Piakura came on, which I think is a good sign for people who brought in the Goz. And Kobe Hetherington, he only played 45 minutes, which I think is a little bit of a letdown and needed two line breaks to boost his score up to a 55 for this round. Anything on those Broncos cheapies tubes?
Nah, just that the Piakura thing was so funny because he was so disappointed when he's tackled a guy. Like, he's given away a penalty, first tackle, and then Teddy's taken the quick tap and he's tackled him straight up and then been sin-binned. And he's, like, blowing up, not knowing what's going on. Like, what a nice plane trip that would have been through the cyclone to come to Sydney to go on for 30 seconds and just go straight into the bin.
Especially because he's been benched. He's trying to come on and prove he's worth the match. Just straight back off. It was good.
I think I'm outside of Shibasaki. I mean, I own Pakes, so I'm happy with that. But I don't think there's nothing in the cheapies that I love. Goz scored a try. he's a wait and see, and the rest is what it is. I think the only other cheapie in that game that was a must get in based on looks alone was Toya from the Roosters. He is 62% owned, but I think if you don't own him, you're looking to bring him in ASAP. He was probably their best looking back, just tackle break for fun. In a very badly beaten side, he scored 90 points. So I don't know if he's exactly you're going to play him necessarily every week, based on that, you really want him and you probably will be.
Yeah, super playable for sure. Like if he's doing that when his team gets absolutely smacked, imagine when they get a bit of run about him. I completely agree. The other Roosters cheapy tubes that neither of us own but I want to touch on is Naff White, because I know he's 30% owned, a really popular one throughout the entire preseason. He got 43 points in 48 minutes, and that pretty much just looks like that 48 minutes-ish might just be the role for him. He didn't get a boost even with Victor Radley going down, so I think that he scored about what I expected. I think that if you own him, you maybe look to make a move with him at some stage soon. I don't think he's one of these ones you just want to leave hanging around your team forever.
Hmm. What about, so there's two hooker second row forwards options for this weekend that are close to that premium category that were people in the ballers community were tossing up. Connor Watson, he's at the high 500K. I think he's owned by 27%, so he was the most popular one, versus one of my favorites, Son of John, Max Plath. They're both dual second row forward hooking position. What do you think of Watson's game?
I think it was just a break even, whether you're an owner or a non-owner. I think we all broke even on that one. Like he played good minutes. He ended up playing, I think, the entire 80, which I'd be interested to see if he would have done without Victor Radley going down. We kind of don't fully know how that rotation's going to go yet. But solid. I'd definitely rather be a Plath owner who's only a 10% and lesser owned. What did you make of it all?
I thought Plath, I know he scored a try and had a line break, which helped his score to go to 83. So what's that, 27? But he must have had, what, 60 or so high mid-50s base plus power. And I just thought he just did everything you needed him to. He played 80 minutes. He's definitely going to get through the work. His workload does, like, he can't not work. Like, he's not sitting out there bludging. I just think he looked unbelievable. And, yeah, I suppose a bit of attacking upside. He actually ended up running off your boy Katoa. He was on that left edge as the back row. That was, at least that was where he scored the try. I don't know if him and Fini Fuiaki swapped. But that's a bit of upside, I think, there. And I think he's a definite option for that sort of gun hooker option for the season.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know if that try, that was one of the worst defensive reads I've ever seen from Jaden Sullivan, who got chucked on in the centres due to injury. It was so bad. He just ran out of line and marked absolutely no one and left I think it almost surprised Son of John that the gap was there. But yeah, he crossed over. Yeah, everything you said, I think, stands, Tubes. The only thing I'd be interested to see is that Fini Fuiaki, as Dan christened him, which I quite liked, Fini Fuiaki, he went off after 55 minutes with a HIA, which means I think we can be confident that Max Plath is going to play 80, which is fantastic, but we don't know if it's going to be all on the edge like it was this game, or is there the chance that when Lemuelu comes on, Plath pushes into the middle, which would be even better. So I think, at worst, it's good upside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tubes, just before I think that's everyone we want to talk about from the Roosters and Broncos game. Let's go to the next game that was played over the weekend. And Terrell May, one of the most popular players in Supercoach, he's at 52%. He had 78 points in 65 minutes. He threw four or five offloads, made the most tackles for his team, ran for 150 metres. I think if you are one of the 50% who don't own him, I just think you have to get him in. I don't see what value you're getting by laying a player like that at that price.
I was playing golf and I was so lucky. I mean, it was probably never going to happen, but I think I was on the 15th tee and I realized it was 6:15 and I was like, oh no, I didn't check teams. I didn't do anything, but it all seemed fine. So I missed the first half, but from when I checked the scores, I was like, oh, Tyrrell May's not going as well as I thought he would. And then that last 20 minutes, he was like their go-to player to get things going, and he's just throwing offloads like almost at will to try and get some second phase play and get the Tigers going. I think that's sort of almost, it's not his flaw, but it's, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged above 78 even for the season based on that.
Yeah, very impressive. One of the other front rowers, Tubes, less impressive, Royce Hunt, who's somehow in 31% of teams. I think that is 31% of super coaches who are scared of having enough in their squad, is what I call that 31%. 21 points in 30 minutes. Just move on. Nuff him out. Anything to add, Tubes, or can we move on?
Nah, move on. It's just enough.
Tigers, Tigers mid-range. There was a few popular blokes here. Jarrell Skelton, a little bit of a pot at 9%. He had 62 with a lineback try. 6 tackle busts for anyone who got him. Looks pretty good. If you didn't get him, you're not exactly kicking yourself for not having him, but pretty promising. Adam Dewey, 17% owned, and he got 41 with 2 conversions. Very low base. He only ran for 76 metres during the game, while most of his wingers did the work. I almost had him as my rage trade troops, but I know that's being a little bit too silly, and he definitely deserves a second chance. But I didn't love what I saw for his first hit out.
No, and that 41 came with a try assist and a line break assist as well, didn't it? As well as the 2 goals. So
I missed that. There you go.
I think worse. He set up Skelton's try, or was given the setup for Skelton's try. I think it was very disappointing. And with the Appy back next week, if Appy takes goal kicking, I think Dewey's like basically a sell straight up next week. But yeah, I won't feel confident playing him in my 17 next week, but I won't be trading him out just yet.
Yeah, definitely a hold. And Jack Bird, 34 points in 52 minutes. He's a 15% owned player. He's one that another one that I think you would have on the chopping block, and probably one that I'd feel comfortable just selling this week, I think, if there was something better to do with your money.
I don't think so. 52 minutes. I mean, if you bought him, you bought him coming off the bench, didn't you? So you 52 minutes probably what you were hoping for. I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking that brought him in, but I'd be holding and just wait and see. He's got some attacking upside. I don't think he's losing money if he's getting 50 minutes to start the year. And he's not the worst AE in the world. Don't think he's worth a trade.
Kalen Ponga, he had 82 without any try assists. That's pretty strong. I mean, I guess you'd be slightly disappointed if you put the C on him, especially if you own Tommy Trbojevic in a couple of games later. But I think that's all. He looked as good as ever. Going right a fair bit with a little bit flipping through on the left as well. So I think you obviously got what you got out of Ponga and you're pretty happy with it. Greg Marju got 83 with a line break try. He had 5 tackle busts, and I actually thought he looked really good football-wise. He looked a little bit quicker than what he did last year. I don't know if he was playing a bit hurt, but I thought he looked good, Big Greg. Did you end up bringing him in, Tubes?
No, I didn't. I'm shocked. I didn't realise that. Ponga got 82 without an assist.
Yeah.
He kicked 1 goal and missed 1. So he got 2 points in goals, no try assist, no tries, and scored 82 points.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive.
Whew. That's a bit of a lookout, isn't it? Like, that's very impressive. I think he's a big captaincy option next week when everyone's going turbo.
You try to speak that into existence.
Greg, I didn't see enough. I mean, he scored a try, got 83 and had a line break. I think he did what everyone's expecting him to do. He was just one of the 500Ks that sort of got the try and the line break, which is good. He's still got the round 4 bye for those that own Dylan Lucas and Ponga, and they're going to have 3 nights. That was sort of the only toss-up for me of not going with him at the end, but I thought he did look good and he obviously scored well. I was more impressed with my man Dylan Lucas, 75, 65 base plus power, had the line break, so that bumped him up to 75, and that line break led to the Fletcher try. So he got up and played the ball and Fletcher Sharp just basically dived over. So, I mean, I could argue he deserves a line break, a try assist for that, but I don't think it's within the rules of Supercoach. But I just thought he looked really good, really powerful, and basically did everything you want to see for someone like him. I almost think he's going to be a must-have in that sort of center wing with his dual flexibility if he keeps playing 80.
Yeah, and he looked dangerous in attack too. Like, it's not like he's just a meat and potatoes man. Like, he definitely does have that line break and can hit a hard line. So I didn't end up with Dylan Lucas. He was in a lot of my drafts, and he's someone that I do wish I had. I was really impressed with him on the weekend. The Rabbitohs had some relevant cheapies that were quite well owned. One of them was a guy that I'm actually quite against. I was trying to talk people out of starting with him, and that was Isaiah Tass, who got 56 with a line break try, and that was after he shifted to the left wing when Munro went down. I think disappointingly for people who brought him in, no goal kicking. Jamie Humphreys got the goal kicking, and there's a chance that Humphreys drops out of the side next week for South when Lewis Dodd comes back. But as a Bunnies fan, geez, I hope he doesn't, because he was probably close to our best player, Jamie Humphreys. Tubes, what do you think? It's a bit of an awkward one, Tass, because if he hadn't have scored that try and ends up with a 36, you probably just look at chopping him immediately. Does that try mean you give him a second chance?
Definitely a second chance. I don't think I'll play him this week. I played him, unfortunately, over the likes of Toya, Tamale, and someone else that I think I could have played instead. And so it was a bit disappointing. I think I was feeling a bit ragey halfway through the game. Felt a bit better when he did score the try. But for me, I think he's the obvious man right now that's on the chopping block for the downgrade to someone like a Shibasaki or one of those other good cheapies that you didn't get. But I think it's a wait and see another week, just to see. I don't think you're not sort of rushing to trade him out, but I don't think he's going to be what I was hoping he was going to be a week ago.
Yeah, who knows? He could get a double next week, so you definitely give him a second chance. One guy who is 34% owned and I think should be higher after what we saw the weekend is Hubner for Souths. Tubes, I would like to put in my nomination to be the president of the Hub Club, Hubner's fan club. I absolutely loved this bloke on the weekend. He played 60 minutes for 45 points, but in actual footy terms, he did a pretty good job, and I think he's going to hold on to a role where he can get around 60 minutes. He had a couple of really crucial big tackles where he forced errors. I wouldn't be expecting many busts or offloads or tries out of Hubner. It's all going to come in base, but just loved him. He reminded me of like one of those forwards from like the late 90s who used to get good run in rugby league. Like, he's just this kind of undersized white guy, not quick, not overly strong, not skillful, but just gets out there and gives everything. I loved him.
I mean, I barely noticed it, like exactly what he was doing, but he was doing a lot by the sounds of things. You're welcome to be president of the Hub Club, Jono. I think that suits you perfectly.
I think that's the biggest backhanded compliment of all time. Another bloke choose from South is very highly owned, 27%. He's Peter Mamazelis. He ended up on 37. Encouraging that he got 72 minutes, which is great. I don't think he's necessarily passing the eye test. Tubes, he's a tick over 300K off the top of my head. Is he Peter Mamazelis? Should we look at getting rid of him before an owner?
I don't think so. 72 minutes is pretty good. If you started with him, what is he, low 300K? So I think you're continuing on because you're happy with the minutes. I think the reality is, and that was the warning before, is Cookies, who's a very good Supercoach player, his output went down under Wayne Bennett, and Mamazelis certainly looks like he's going to be under the instruction to very much just do meat and potatoes things. And meat and potato things for a hooker doesn't translate that well to Supercoach. It translates to just a lot of tackles. Mm-hmm. So I certainly wouldn't be rushing to buy him in based on 72 minutes, but I think you have to hold now and deal with other problems. If 34 to 40 points is what he's going to get, that's not the worst AE problem going around for a second hooker at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think you wish you probably started with Corey Pakes, but yeah, I think it's not worth the try.
I don't know. Pakes I'm happy with, but he scored a try and still only got 56. Like, it's not unbelievably better.
No, not unbelievably, but even if he didn't score a try, he would have outscored Mamazelis.
Yeah.
So, okay. And he's 50K cheaper. But no, I agree. It's not a disaster by any means. Tom Gilbert chooses one who a few people fancied as kind of a mid-range second row forward. He had 64 points on the weekend, 44 of which just came from tackles and hard work. He ended up playing 56 minutes, according to NRL.com. Is he one that you'd look at buying? I'm hearing other people say he's a must buy. I don't think he's quite at that category.
Can't say he's a must buy. I mean, you'd be happy if you started with him. What is he? He's 400 and...
480 or something around that mark?
462.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you're taking 60, 64 and 44 tackles every week for 462. I think he's on the bubble. Like, as in, do you go sideways from a Seyfarth to someone like him? That potentially feels a bit better for me than if you were looking at it, someone like the Gods or something like that. I'd probably still, like the most advice this week is I'd still wait a week and see what those minutes look like, just because you did mention, and I didn't realize this, if Fini Fuiaki went off after 55 minutes and that means Plath didn't pay move into the middle, that could have affected Gilbert's minutes. Like, even just 6 or 7 less minutes on average for Gilbert, you know, with that base, he's sort of dropping down a few points as well. So, like, I certainly think that he is an awesome NRL player. He'll be very good at Supercoach, but I couldn't label him a must-have for right now. And I wouldn't be bringing him in. I'm not looking to bring him in this week.
Tubes, let's get into our next segment, which is one I don't know is your favourite that we do each week. It is Ready to Explode. Who you got for us, Tubes?
Look, I think we've already talked about one of them, but I think Ready to Explode. Now, remembering this is meant to be, and I've already sort of probably potentially breaking tradition 1 week in. So Ready to Explode is sort of those that you feel are just ready to, like, they're ready to go. They're ready. They're about to just blow up over the next few weeks. They could be young guns coming through. They could be sort of young up-and-comers on the precipice, or they could be those that are sort of thinking, you know, they've had a few years in first grade, but they're ready to go. This week, I couldn't pick between a bunch of players in this back line, and so I've basically just gone and picked the whole Broncos outside backs. Like, I just thought they looked absolutely unbelievable. The run they have coming up, I want all of them in my team. I know a lot of people have Jesse Arthurs, who I don't love as a base man from a Supercoach perspective, but I thought he looked unbelievable. Walsh looked good. The addition of Ben Hunt looked only good for their outside backs in terms of feeding them. Selwyn Cobbo, 3 tries, and it looks like he could just get a hat-trick each and every week. We already talked about Shibasaki. Like, they just all looked very, very, very good. Even Dean Mariner, like, looked good. And obviously they've still got Stags to come back. I want as many Broncos outside backs over the next 4 or 5 weeks. I'm happy to have Walsh, and I'll be looking at getting one, at least one more over the next few weeks as well.
Don't like it. Not into it, Tubes. I think Walsh is a good own for you. You've gone the pod play with Walsh, and he's the one that I would be really happy to have in. Shibasaki I might bring in as a cheapie, but it still doesn't feel 100% right. I still want to see it again from him. And, like, old mate Cobbo, 3 tries. You meant left out, I think, that he only scored 85 points, of which 51 was from tries. And I don't think he's getting 3 tries every week, but I'm not quite as hot on them as you. I'm not quite there yet.
You're not seeing the signs, Jono. Not seeing the signs that they're just ready to go.
Well, ready to. I don't explode. Know. Is there potentially a Tubes RTE curse? The ready to explode curse coming? Because last week you picked Xavier Savage, and now he's suspended after the game. Got charged from something that wasn't picked up during the game. So I'm throwing out that potentially there's a Tubes RTE curse. But we'll see. We'll see how the Broncos go. My ready to explode this week is, I don't know, Tubes, you went on a golf weekend. Is it a gimme? Am I using the right golfing term there?
Yeah. I suppose.
Good. Well, mine's Ryan Pappenhausen, who is just the most obvious ready-to-explode candidate. He's 133 points today. And she's one of my favourite things from the group chat today was where you said you would have probably brought in Pappenhausen if you had known his hair was that colour. the platinum blonde that he was working. And he was just taking on the line at every opportunity. And in that first half, it seriously just seemed like he had a point to prove and he wanted to hurt Parra. He was back to the Pappy of old. And I got to put my hand up and say I was wrong because I would have said that he was a bad buy for Supercoach this year. Bad's way too strong a term. Not worth buying for Supercoach this year because I just think he's got a potential ceiling in him. Well, I did think that without the goal kicking, but then, yeah, egg on my face with 133 points. Only 4.7% owned.
Look, I don't know if it works in this category because he's well and truly exploded this afternoon at Amy Park. I don't know if he's not ready to explode. He just exploded this afternoon.
It's already happened.
Yeah. I genuinely think, like, I honestly, if I knew he had that platinum blonde hair, I would have put a lot of thought into it. You don't do hair like that unless you're real confident in yourself, confident in your game, confident that you're ready to explode. Like if you sent me a picture of that last week, he would have been my ready to explode on the Sunday snap. Like he just looked unbelievable, fully fit Pappy. There's honestly nothing better. Like he wasn't fully fit last year. Like he came off such horrific injuries. Like he clearly wasn't himself all year. And the hair was looking good. He was looking good. Geez, I'd love to own him at some point after this bye. When maybe round five, when a Yongi fattens up and they've gotten through a bit of a tougher draw, I'd love to have a bit of Pappy at that time.
Yeah, very impressive. Well done, especially to C-Mac of SC Baller podcasting fame who brought him in. Well done, C-Mac, who got a big score this week. Tubes, on to our second lot of talking points. And the first one we have to talk about in part two is Jacob Preston, who got 49 points with no real attacking opportunities. Very importantly, though, there was some rumours around Tupanua coming on and playing off an edge and Preston losing minutes, which never really made a whole lot of sense to me. Didn't happen. Tupanua came on through the middle. It was one of those ones where he actually had a really good real-life footy game. I'm not sure if you got the chance to watch all of that one, Tubes, but he had a really good game. It just didn't quite translate to Supercoach points. I think he's one that you're not looking at trading out after 1 week.
No, you wouldn't be. All you wanted to see was him get 80. You know the points will come. 49 with 80 minutes is definitely his floor. He gets a lot of tackle breaks. I felt like, I don't know, maybe he was getting half tackle breaks in this game. I thought he would have been scoring better than he was. Like, I thought he looked very dangerous. So, yeah, it'll come. I'm sure, there's no warning signs for me, realistically, as to why he didn't exactly pop this week.
I know one Tubes who caught your eye was Connor Tracy, who's a very big pod at under 4% ownership. He had 90 points with a try and a try assist. He's a dual fullback centre wing. He's 580K. Are you realistically taking a look at him or is he just one that you're keeping an eye on for now?
Well, I won't be bringing him in this week, but I think you got to keep an eye on him. It's hard. They played the Dragons. I don't love the Dragons this year. So you got to keep another look. But the reality is Connor Tracy... It was his first full season at fullback last year. Would you say it was his first full season of first grade last year? Like he played for the Sharks, like never fully consistently had a spot nailed down, always been a bit of a Mr. Fix-It. Whereas just from watching on the weekend, I felt they were running a bit more shape for him out the back, like you do for any good fullback. But he probably potentially a little bit more than what they'd done last year, or they started to do at the back end of last year as their attack was getting better and better. You know, any starting fullback available in the center wing is an obvious option. And I just think that he's potentially going to come into that category for this year at only 580K. So I think he could be a big one that's on the bubble for week three for sure.
What about Toby Couch from Tubes, another one who's got really low ownership at only 2%. He had 69 points, but importantly played 70 minutes in the middle. That was likely inflated because his brother Ryan, unfortunately, tore his ACL. He's dual. I think you guys on the pod, as it was formerly known before, were one of the only podcasts I actually ever heard putting serious chatter into Toby Couchman, a.k.a. Couchy. Looked pretty good.
Yeah. I mean... 483K was always a bit my reservation about him, but dual second row forward, front row forward. I mean, 70 minutes. I know Ryan Couchman got injured, so that's inflating his minutes, but it hasn't, surely it hasn't inflated it by like 30 minutes or anything like that. Surely he was still in 55 plus. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So if he's in for 55 to 60, his work rate's unbelievable. I think there's some chat if they signed Clemmer. That's not as scary. Cook didn't play 80 minutes. I think there was a concern that he might go straight from hooker to lock, which means that takes up some minutes in the middle, and he didn't look injured to me. And then Emre Guler, do you get put on report? I think he's getting suspended. He did a hip drop tackle on Jacob Preston. I wouldn't be surprised if he got. Yeah, I think Couchman's going to be an interesting option. 483K. It's just a tricky price at that second row forward, front row forward. But I wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here going, Couchy has outscored Gilbert by the end of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say head-to-head, who would you pick, Couchy or Gilbert? Same price, basically, very similar. Who you got?
I want more information, Jono. I need another week. I can't make that call. I'd probably take Gilbert now just because I know how good of a first grade footballer he is. But I really was impressed by Couchman, and I'm possibly more chance of bringing him in the next couple of weeks than I am Gilbert.
What about,
does that answer your question? Couchy? That's a bit on the fence, I feel like, but that's sort of where my head's at.
Yeah, it answers it, I guess. It's very on the fence, but that's all right. It's very unlike you to sit on the fence, but I'll give you that one. On the couch. What about I get a message at 6:30 in the morning the other day from your brother Dan from England. Just two words, you up. I don't think I've ever got a you up message in my life. I wasn't getting those at uni. And I wrote back to Dan, yeah, I'm up. Is everything
you
okay?
You were sending a few.
And he was just wanted to hit me with Toby Couchman, New South Wales. He just wanted to hit me with Toby Couchman's New South Wales Cup numbers, and far out, they were so impressive. Like his PPM in New South Wales Cup was an absolute outrage. So no, I'm definitely taking a good look at Couchy.
His PPM could be down, like basically, like as in 69 points in 70 minutes. He might be disappointed looking at those stats when he comes off the field.
Maybe. All right. I think we've put about 5 minutes into Couchy, so we probably should move on past the 2% owned Couchy. What about Duffy, Tom Duffy, 41% owned Tubes. He only had 23 points on the weekend. Bit weird. He still shared the goal kicking with Drinky. Like, I don't think we're still closer to knowing. He took the first kick, but then Drinky took the second kick, which was a bit strange. I think if you own him, it's not too concerning, I guess, as his team got completely run over him. What's a rookie halfback meant to do? But one thing that got me thinking, Tubes, is that if Nico comes out and doesn't kick again and Trindle runs and so for the Sharks, maybe are we starting to think ahead about plan Bs? Because I think Duffy was plan A.
Yeah, it's hard to know. He didn't look great, but as you say, in a severely beaten side. And I hope he's not a scapegoat for how badly they performed. But it was a weird thing, Drinky kicking that second kick. I said that, did the message go down to go get your kicking practice on, Drinky, because Duffy's not going to be here next week. But that might have been a bit earlier call from Todd. I think it's a very wait and see. It certainly means, for me, it gives us an extra week before having to make a decision. You know, even if he's still in the team in round three, that his price rise is likely not going to now be massive with that 24 in the rolling average. So it just gives you that extra week to get a little bit more information before making that decision as well.
The other cheapie for the Cowboys is Purdue, who I know, Tubes, you were huge on. I didn't get to watch the Cowboys preseason, but you were really, really impressed by what you saw from him. I wasn't that impressed from his first NRL game. I do get that he had a pretty hard job. He was marking up against Big Ola, who looked absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I think it's fine. He got 26 points. He's a little bit undersized for a centre. But yeah, I think the only thing that I'm going to be mindful of with him is I might keep him as an NPR for a couple of weeks, but I'm still happy with him sitting in the squad.
Yeah, I think I said to Matt, like, it just really blew out trial form, didn't it? Like, Storm v Cowboys, I went to that game, a trial game. Cowboys, like, beat Storm convincingly with their two starting teams. Cowboys come out and get beat by 40. Storm go out and win by 50, like, or 40 or whatever it ended up being. Like, as so, yeah, no, that's you can't take too much from trial form, but I thought Purdue did look unbelievable in the trials. And, yeah, as you said, not in the 17, but we'll just see how it goes from here.
Let's get on to the other team that Purdue and Duffy got run over by. So a few boys from the Manly Seagulls, three of them who are very, very highly owned. I guess we have to start choosing with Tommy Turbo, 113 points, and it's just one of those ones where you said before, like as a non-owner, that's about what you expected. It felt like it could have easily been more. Like 113 is almost disappointing as a Turbo owner, having watched that game of footy.
Yeah, you looked unbelievable. I think this pod's going a bit long. I think we need to skip over this part of the game. Manly's not needed to be discussed. We talked about keeping it short and sharp, so maybe we skip through this part.
You don't want to talk about the Manly hard draw that you were trying to spruik as a conspiracy theory on the SC Baller pod?
They looked unbelievable, particularly Turbo and Ola. Turbo genuinely looked like he was – could have scored every single touch of the ball, and Ola wasn't too far behind him. Tom Dearden had and Purdue, who we spoke about, had a very rough night trying to defend Ola. Even Garrick looked quiet, but I think there was at least one bomb try where he should have got a try assist. Like, just kicks goals for fun. If Manly are going to be belting team, that's great. I'm just praying the Warriors turn up next week in Auckland to give him a game.
Yeah, Ola's got to be one that people have got to look at bringing in if they don't own. I think so many people own Turbo, but geez, big Ola, 100 points, and he actually came off early. He got an early spell after 67 minutes just because they were pumping him by so much. One thing that I was really encouraged about is Ola is they were legitimately running set plays for him on that right edge. Like, it wasn't just like random tries. Like, they were running sets to try and get him over the line and isolating him one-on-one with smaller guys.
Did they not seem to be – you remember last year AFB used to score, you know, two out from a front row forward and he'd be like the sweeping big man play. They seem to be running that, but even further out, like the sweeping big man play for Ola, like just running out the back and just not sweeping to look to create an overlap, but sweeping to just run over the smaller man that has to try and tackle it.
Yeah. Now, look very threatening. I am an owner, but I'd be pretty nervous if I wasn't. What about Cherry Evans, Tubes? He kind of flirts with relevance every now and then. He got 126. Are you any interested in him as a potential pod downgrade from Nico, or is it just put a line through Cherry? Not interested.
There's no way I'm owning Cherry when I'm not owning Turbo, Ola and Garrick. But
yeah, pretty good
point. You could really quadruple up if you wanted to and just ride this Manly train. I just think everyone remembering it's week one and these scores that they'll roll out of their rolling average for that you don't get the full three rounds for those price rises as well. If he does 126 in round three, you're potentially looking at him because you know you're going to get that cash grab as well as a downgrade option from Nico.
All right, let's move on to some players from the final game of the round, Tubes. Going to start just up. We've already spoken about Pappy, who's the most obvious. Let's go with Cam Munster, who coming off potentially double hip surgery over the offseason. He looked great. He was moving really, really well. Looked completely free. He ended up on 91 after being on 86 at halftime. But I think for anyone who owns Munster, you're going to take that 91 and take how good he looked.
Yeah, he looked unbelievable. I just think it's hard. The Storm just all looked so good, particularly in that first half. But in terms of seeing him back, seeing him moving well, seeing the Storm dominating, everything that you wanted to see, and I guess on to next week to see how it goes from there. All the reservations are still the same. They've got the bye next week. And then you, like, it's sort of just feeding how many players do they have that are all just guns? And are they going to beat teams by 50 every week? But yeah, geez, he looked good. And I'm happy about it too, because I really want to own Munster this year, because I just love watching him play. I want to go to some Storm games. So yeah, I hope he keeps kicking on.
Harry Grant, Chibs, I guess of all the Storm players, he was probably the one who scored, of the well-owned guys, who scored a little bit disappointingly, I would say. He got 56 points. I think that means after week one.
With a try.
Like you said, it's, exactly, with a try. I think after 1 week, and like you said, it is only 1 week, but I think that gives a slight edge to the people who went the too cheap hooker option, but there's still plenty of time to play out on that one. And it's one of those games where it's not like he was having to make tackles. Like, it was just all so one-way traffic that he didn't get to get through that normal grunt work he does.
Did he go off? He didn't play 80, I'm guessing.
No, he just got the we're smashing him spell. Wish he came on and played a bit of hooker late.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a rotation thing where he got
certainly not what you wanted if you started with him though. After
no,
you know, he upgraded to 61. Those upgrades are in, but not that that's too huge.
Oh, upgrades are in. Beauty, can't wait to have a look. All right. Well, from Parramatta, and Chiefs, you might be able to update me on these scores because I've probably got them down incorrectly now. But Hopgood was a pretty highly owned player who a lot of people were thinking after an injury prone year last year that he was going to be back to his best. He was on 49 points before the updates. And I don't know, I thought he was pretty hop average. I know it's hard to judge a middle forward when their team gets thrashed like they did. But one thing that I know C-Mac highlighted in our group chat that I agreed with was he was doing a touch more ball playing than usual, coming to the line and throwing at the back instead of taking the hit up. But yeah, 49 points in a thrashing like that, it's not the worst, is it?
Nah, and he's upgraded to 58. And he's sort of prone to upgrades with tackle breaks and offloads and stuff like that. Upgrades. So he's I mean, you take that. It's a pass. Definitely. Play 80 minutes, get 58 points for those that brought him in this week. And they've just been beaten by 40. Like, he's got a the thing, even if he is doing that dig into the line, which I'm not certain he wasn't doing a fair bit last year anyway. You know he's got some attacking upside. You know he's got second phase creation, and you know he does like scoring a try. So, I'm pretty happy with that overall. Big change. It makes you feel a bit different, doesn't it? Just those nine points different.
58 feels way better than 49 for owners. Heaps better. The other Parramatta boys, the other one who's a bit of a gun, who's well-owned, was Dylan Brown, who he's ended up with 73 after the updates that have come through. He had a little bit of late junk. He got two try assists. One of them was very, very dubious. So I don't think anyone deserved a try assist for his first one, but looks like he's held it. So 73 points, that's definitely a win considering they got 56 points put on him in that game. Are you going to take that if you're an owner? I would be a little bit worried. I think Parra are just worse generally without Moses, and Moses is gone for 7 weeks. So I'd be a little bit worried there, but you got away with it today.
He finds a way. The big one was, for those that didn't go the three-gun fullback strategy, was the late Iongi junk. Just and he's upgraded to 69. Like, that's just it's pretty, I mean, it's sort of what you're just hoping for when you're going such a cheapy player. He's obviously 66% owned. But for those that owned Turbo, Walsh, and Ponga, which is probably the most popular three fullback gun strategy, for as happy as you are captaining Turbo and all of that, and obviously you have gone a little bit better, it probably just stings a little bit. You're probably really cheering home at the time when Iongi was on, what, like 30-something with 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, and like from an actual footy perspective, he was probably like a little bit of a shining light for him, Para. Like he ran for 160 metres as well, so he's going to have the base. He was bouncing off a couple of tackles. So, yeah, pretty encouraging. And not every week's going to be an absolute thrashing like what it was for Parramatta today. So, yeah, pretty happy. And I think he's one that if you do own him, you should feel comfortable playing him each and every single week. The other one who was pretty popular is Charlie Geimer, who ended up with 12% ownership at 232K. I couldn't have been happier because 11 minutes into the game, Kelma Chualangi got hooked, just taken straight off the field for a couple of really bad defensive reads involving Pappy. Just Jason Ross saw enough, and just 11 minutes, you're done, buddy. And Geimer came onto that edge, and I was thinking, you beauty, he's going to get a huge score. I haven't looked at him tubes post-updates, so I'm going to get it in front of me right now. 25 points he got in 69 minutes. Which, I mean, it's nice that he got those minutes, but Jesus, not much doing.
Look, I've been accused of bad mouthing Charlie Geimer and firing him up before. So, I, as a non-owner, I'm happy for him to stay quiet on that edge, and we can leave it at that.
I think the biggest thing about him and an edge is that it reminded me that he's a much better middle forward watching that game. Like, he just didn't look like a natural edge. But yeah, hopefully he can get back through a little bit more of that middle rotation. Tubes, let's get on to our last segment of the show, and that is time for the Little Black Book. Tubes, who do you have in your Little Black Book written down after this round?
Look, I feel like I'm singing the Broncos hymn a little bit too much, but I did think that they looked unbelievable. Little Black Book, one that you're sort of writing down because you wanted to see some certain things. For me, the big one for me was Pat Carrigan. He played 67 minutes at prop. For the first half, he played all the first half at prop. He looked unbelievable. He's dual second row forward, front row forward. I mean, he's not cheap. He's 600 and something thousand. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I just the thing that I didn't factor in was what I said earlier, which is just the Madge factor, like as in he just loves his big, strong front row forwards, Payne Haas. He used to love it with Sam Burgess, who was the absolute super coach, gun, captain option every week under Madge in 2013, 2014. And I just think Pat Carrigan's going to be his man, leader of the pack, all of the things that you want. I just think that he's, for me, if this is the role that he's going to play, he will be a season end keeper in either the front row forward or the second row forward for you.
Did you confuse the segments, Tubes? This is Little Black Book. I think you must have got it confused. The guy who scored 93 points on the weekend. You must think this was Ready to Explode Part 2. How is a guy who got, he's a top five front row forward in the world, and he got 93 points on the weekend, and you're saying he's a Little Black Book player?
Yeah, it's a little black book because you just I'm jotting it down that he's got 67 minutes and that Madge Maguire is looking like he's going to be using him in that particular role. With that change of role, it changes the dynamics completely for Pat Carrigan, from my perspective. Like it's just completely different. And I think he had a try assist or something like that, but that was it. Like he just it was all basically base plus power. He just looked unbelievable. He's 642,000, so he's quite cheap. Yeah, one try assist, one line break assist. That was it. 93 points. Just yeah, he's I'm just jotting down the noted change in roles, and I think that that's gonna mean that he's gonna become a premium option. He's always been between sort of gun and that premium, whereas this year I think he's gonna now take the big step up into the premiums.
Fair enough. He did look very, very impressive. The one I'm writing down the Little Black Book after this round, Tubes, is Keon Koloamatangi for the Rabbitohs. He is only currently in 5% of Supercoach teams. And a couple of things that stood out to me for him was just how fit he looks. He's never looked fitter or quicker in his entire career. He's lost a lot of weight, but still seems to have held onto that power. Just really impressive. He was playing on the left edge, and Cody used him often. Like they really, again, similar to Ola Kwasi on the Manly right. Koloamatangi, they were really looking to try and get him with some set plays close to the line. He didn't quite crash through, but he had 63 in base plus power, and I'm very, very confident that out on that left edge, his attacking stats are going to come. So he's one that I will be taking a serious look at moving forward.
Yeah, that left edge, Cody, with no Trell, didn't look great for Campbell Graham owners, but geez, it looked good for anyone that's on that left edge, that's for sure.
Chiefs, that pretty much wraps us up for the Sunday Snap for this week. Just another reminder to the listeners that to join the SC Baller Unlimited League, where there is $5,000 worth of prizes, head to baller.promo, BALLR.promo, and the league code is 730444, and you will need to register your email to become eligible for those prizes. Tubes, any last thoughts before we head?
You beauty.